one larger mind, then it would make sense that the events that we see in our lives that are seemingly happening at a chaotic or a random level are actually being orchestrated by this larger mind. But from our own particular point of view, from our own particular point of view of our five physical senses, we really can't see that. So it's really a question between the juncture between the larger energetic reality of our universe and the experience of our physical senses that can't really perceive that directly. And I heard Dr. Courtney Brown from Emory University talking about remote viewing, and he had this new book out, you may have heard of it, called Cosmic Voyage.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let's get you sitting up on the desk, pom-poms in hand, legs up on the chairs, okay? That's it. Let's open up the legs just a bit more like that. Get pom-poms in each hand. There you go. Wonderful. That's excellent. Hold it right there. Okay, relax. You need to throw some film in front of the camera. Right there, good.
Our critique began as all critiques begin, with doubt. Doubt became our narrative. Ours was a quest for a new story, our own. And we grasped toward this new history driven by the suspicion that ordinary language couldn't tell it.
Shake them off. Let's get up here. Let's see some movement. I'll catch movement. Okay. That's great. Keep shaking them. Now, set one down, set your right hand to set it down right there, that's cool. And then the other one just kind of drape across the knee a little bit. And let's get the hand down here in the pussy. Let's open the pussy for us. Okay, start enticing us like that.
Our past appeared frozen in the distance, and our every gesture and accent signified the negation of the old world and the reach for a new one. The way we lived created a new situation, one of exuberance and friendship. That of a subversive micro-society in the heart of a society which ignored it. Art was not the goal, but the occasion and the method for locating our specific rhythm and varied possibilities of our time. The discovery of a true communication was what it was about, or at least the quest for such a communication. The adventure of finding it and losing it. We, the unappeased, the unaccepting, continued looking, filling in the silences with our own wishes, fears, and fantasies, driven forward by the fact that no matter how empty the world seemed, no matter how degraded and used up the world appeared to us, we knew that anything was still possible and, given the right circumstances, a new world was just as likely as an old one.
These are highly complicated pieces of equipment, almost as complicated as living organisms. In some cases, they've been designed by other computers. We don't know exactly how they work.
Sale, mi puoi riprendere la via per gentilezza?
basically science. Problem with parallel universes because they can't explain consciousness.
Here we go. That's great. Coming closer. There it is. Right there. Good.
RHA sent the Pentagon a list of 16 crucial sites to protect. The National Museum was second on that list. And yet the museum was not just looted, it was desecrated. It was a repository of an ancient cultural heritage. Iraq, as we know it today, was part of the River Valley civilization of Mesopotamia. The civilization that grew along the banks of the Tigris and the Euphrates produced the world's first writing, first calendar, first library, first city, and yes, the world's first democracy.
Have a little bit, be a little naughty for us. That's it. Right there. Good. Right
with all the amazing activists and performers that I knew would be here, I wasn't quite sure if I could tell you anything you didn't already know. So I decided perhaps I'd share something a little bit more personal.
Sunday, I have to collect some stamps or something. We better hit the hay right now. Oh boy, am I tired. And we just go to sleep, and she's gonna look too shy to really go, hey, you know, what's the matter with you? She's gonna like, oh, right, I'm tired too.
King Hammurabi of Babylon was the first to codify laws governing the social life of citizens.
Because you're getting information from things that are seemingly at a distance, people, places, or events.
And we go to sleep when I wake up in the morning, so we're just going to leave. We've got a lot of stuff to do. We don't have time to hang out as much as she wants me to. So the next day, I kind of wake up and go, well! Boy, I bet you've had enough of boring old me. I got a big day planned. I got to go drink some water down the street. Then I have to go to my botany lesson. Then I'll be studying some different kinds of roaches that live in here. And then I have to go to band practice. And then I have Bible studies. And then I have to go to sleep. But first, the yoga and meditation.
Something for you to think about. With Pride coming up next week, I know many of us are making plans for wild parties, spending time with friends and family, and pretty much just going crazy. I certainly hope all the revelry goes well, and that you're all safe in your celebrations.
Chip, 5,000 meals 3 times a day.
Thank you. then it matters little what framework you choose, unquote. Seth responded by first saying that it may matter for the individual involved, and then he continued.
Whatever framework you choose, you will find a minute who believe in it. Your idea must be to lead them beyond the framework while still allowing them, if they need to, now, to take advantage of it.
What I like about the system is that it's verifiable and it's continuously self-improving if you follow it. In other words, you always get feedback at the end of whether you're right or not, and that helps you learn for the next session. And just like our caller was just saying, she's right. What it does, and any sort of process will do this. It's not just RV, but any sort of mind-body practice. It makes you more aware of things that are previously unconscious.
Leslie Feinberg is a longtime activist and writer who has worked on behalf of issues such as lesbian, gay, bi, and trans issues, racism, classism, imperialism, and war.
You become aware of more things, and you become more aware of yourself and processes within yourself. So it's a very good awareness training process, if nothing else.
All right, let's go west.
And I know the feeling of being out there at night, you feel kind of a sensation of blending with nature.
My angle. Let's put the other pom-pom down and maybe use both hands and get the legs really wide for me right here. That's it. I'm going to come right here. Oh, yeah, why don't we take care of that? Yeah. Just for this.
Of nature, and I know the human circle makers enjoy that feeling. Even researchers that have just made circles once or twice have commented on how amazing that kind of a magical feeling of blending. You know, nature has its own intelligence.
This next segment occurred after a class discussion about what Seth refers to as entity names.
Thank you.
so glum, Mr. DeBoer.
What was missing was felt irretrievable. The extreme uncertainties of subsisting without working.
And has written the books Stone Butch Blues, Transgender Warriors, and Transliberation.
Claude Atkinson was an extremely talented grower with a good product, White told me, a super salesman. The operation near Eminence was of average size for that time. It is difficult even from the air to find marijuana hidden in corn. Remember North by Northwest? White asked. Cary Grant and the cornfield? We don't have cornfields like that anymore with wide rows. They broadcast the stuff, and it's just thicker than hell. Sometimes patches of marijuana will be distributed here and there amid hundreds of acres. Discovering one may not lead to the others. Growers tend to be much more concerned about hiding their marijuana from thieves than from the government. A rural American underworld has emerged around marijuana, secretive and unknown to outsiders. Booby traps are being laid in cornfields.
All the stale air out of our lungs. Each time we breathe out, let go, let go, let go. More comfortably, more easily, always with the feeling that when we reach a state of joy, the unexpected happens.
There is now a group of people in the Midwest known as patch pirates who earn a living solely by stealing marijuana from growers whom they follow. White acknowledged that the booby traps are aimed at patch pirates, not his own men. Nevertheless, fish hooks strung at eye level on fishing line are non-discriminatory. Outdoor marijuana farms have become smaller to avoid detection. Though White's agents had recently found 60,000 beautiful plants on a farm in Tippecanoe County. The case proved a disappointment. The DEA found the suspected grower, but prosecutors declined to press charges.
So when you turned Dr. Lecter over to the Tennessee police...
They weren't civil to him.
They all dead now.
Yeah, they only survived his company 3 days. You survived him 6 years at the asylum. How'd you do that? One just being civil.
Yes, it was.
So you turned our leg over to him.
They weren't civil to him. They're all dead now.
Control number 3, a more honest. You're getting it, I replied. What Rich Dad was saying is that as you grow up, be more honest with yourself. Raise the standards on yourself. If you don't, your life stays the same.
Yeah, they only survived his company 3 days. You survived him 6 years at the asylum. How'd you do that? One just being civil.
Yes, it was.
Papers, you know what's going on?
Yeah, I read the papers.
You know Lyndon Johnson just sent 50,000 more kids over to Vietnam? What's your feelings on that?
Do you ever think, after he escaped, he might come after you?
Years ago, had 1,000 times more smells and sounds.
He once told me that whenever feasible, he preferred to eat the root, free-range root, he called them.
But what about me? I'm busy. I really don't have any time, especially to go looking at 100 properties. Then just be honest about it, I said. Just say, I'm not going to make the time. So all you were saying is stop whining, complaining, and acting like babies? That's a great way of saying it, I said.
Well, we gather here tonight during Pride Month to reflect on our history and our presence in crucial struggles for justice. We are honored to have such a leader in the queer and transgender movement here to speak with us. Somebody who has always lived the struggle and worked so hard to unite all movements.
What are you doing? I'm trying to close it.
What about you? You ever think he might come after you? You ever think about him at all?
I had a friend once who told me that the worst mistake that you can make is to think that you are alive. When really you're asleep in life's waiting room.
And also who I think is a really great storyteller about our history and an incredible motivator for our work in the present.
Colors probably than we get now just by the kind of threadbare taste of our existence. Like Nicholson Baker, for example, makes the tininess of our, he's both showing up, sending up the tininess of our lives and celebrating the beauty of life. And I think that that's why
the trick is to combine your waking rational abilities with the infinite possibilities of your dreams.
You know, kids younger than you, mostly blacks and Latinos, getting their gut shot out in Southeast Asia.
You know, Abby, I can't imagine you're at the top of their most wanted list anymore.
No one can imagine any of this unless they've lived it, Glenn. Go write your article about the government breaking laws, and then they'll back off. I mean, you can't imagine how much money they've spent trying to silence good people who have put their lives on the line to stop the war, to fight for change.
At least 30 seconds of every day. Can't help it. Help it. Can't help it. He's always with me.
Because if you can do that, you can do anything. Did you ever have a job that you hated? Worked really hard at? Long, hard day of work, finally you get to go home, get in bed, close your eyes, and immediately you wake up and realize that the whole day at work had been a dream.
Something like The Mezzanine or his new book is such a good statement, because that is the tension within the work between banality and beauty.
It was a code in which abandoned women, prostitutes, slaves, and even animals had rights. The Hammurabi Code is acknowledged not just as the birth of legality, but the beginning of an understanding of the concept of social justice.
It feels good to see people you hate suffer.
Well, not everyone is rich like you with all the free time and money in the world, said someone from a back row. Smiling, I said, I would not have the free time and money if I had let excuses be truths instead of lies, I said. I too started without any money. I too had mountains of debt, nearly $1 million. And I too am busy. And you would still have those problems if you had used those problems as excuses, said the woman with no time. I get what you're saying.
Like a bad habit.
We talk about a lot of things at night. After the screaming finally died down,
it's bad enough that you sell your waking life for minimum wage, but now they get your dreams for free.
Hey man, what are you doing here?
We talk about you sometimes. You want to know what he said?
What'd he say? What'd he say about me late at night?
Well, he was talking about inherited hardwired behavior. He was using genetics and the roller pigeons as an example. They fly way up in the air, roll over backwards in a display, falling toward the ground.
There are shallow rollers and there are deep rollers. You can't breed two deep rollers or they're young. Their offspring will roll all the way down, hit and die. Agent Starling is a deep roller, Barney. Let us hope one of her parents was not.
Jesus Christ, look at this guy. He looks like he needs the works. What's wrong with him?
You should know you pronounced him.
The U.S. government could not have chosen a more inappropriate land in which to stage its illegal war.
For tonight is stay in bed all day. When you feel down and out and depressed, instead of fighting it, stay in bed all day. It is wonderful to be in bed and do nothing. Keep the TV on, stay in your pajamas all day, eat takeout food from the cartons, and wallow in your misery. Then make sure to tell people that you are in bed for the day. While in this condition, call people from bed, and when they ask what you are doing, say in a husky, sexy, not woken up voice, "I'm still in bed." Those words will create a visual image of you as Andy Warhol calling Edie Sedgwick, or Marilyn Monroe calling Bobby Kennedy, or Truman Capote calling Jackie O.
You told me he was dead, flatlined.
He got better.
I hate pronouncing people dead over the phone.
Radiation, in this case, the gas falls into the black hole before the radiation that's produced has a chance to escape.
Yeah, better, huh? They're fixed and dilated. This guy's plant food.
Hey, we stole the stretcher from X-ray, so put him in 3 next to the overdose, all right?
All right, look, he's our lowest priority now, right? He shouldn't even be here, all this technology.
Oh, wait, wait.
So you can't put it on the poster, can you? People think it was a holiday advert.
Joy Division, do you know what that is, Mr. Wilson?
It's when the Nazis picked out racially pure women and had sex with them.
Yeah, well, Joy Division, that's us, eh?
Well, it's a very Nazi name.
So?
Yeah, but it's quite cheery as well.
Yeah.
Joy.
So, yeah, like a joy. Division of joy or something.
Joy Division.
Let's all say that together. 1, 2, 3.
Joy. Joy.
How do you answer the charge that you're a fascist?
What?
Your band Joy Division, named after a group of women captured by the SS for the purpose of breeding perfect Aryans. Isn't that sick?
Have you never heard of situationism or postmodernism?
We need to talk to him here.
Do you know nothing about the free play of signs and signifiers? Yes, we've got a band called Joy Division. We've also got a band called Geruti Column. I'm sure I don't need... This is a low point for me, obviously.
Becomes much smaller than the rate of mass flow times c squared. Okay, now it has been proposed that advection-dominated accretion could be a good test of an event horizon, and that's because if you have an accretion flow which is not able to radiate, it contains a lot of energy, and it's carrying that energy physically into the hole, that energy doesn't get out. The argument is that can only occur around a black hole, because for any other object, even if it has a very deep gravitational potential, for example, a neutron star, you have a hard surface. And so when the gas hits the surface, eventually that energy will just sit there until it starts, it's released in real time, and that you would always have a fairly high efficiency when you accrete onto a neutron star.
It's nothing about you. You're beautiful. You're young. It's all in the right place. Wonderful proportions. You're very nice. I don't know. I can't do it, okay?
You like to think when it's over, your things would feel more than a cardboard box.
John's parents don't want it. Any of it. Except the dog. Don't want to be reminded.
I want to be reminded.
Brush your teeth, even if you are staying in bed all day.
The display is grotesque disregard for justice of any kind.
Thank you.
shouldn't smoke.
It's okay, they're prescription. Works better with a little whiskey.
Jets. Now, what I'm going to say in the end is that there is a good chance that these jets might be powered by tapping the spin energy of the black hole. And let me just remind you that particles around a spinning black hole inside the ergosphere can have negative total energy, in the sense that if they are accreted by the black hole with these negative total energies, the mass of the black hole actually can go down, and of course that is the basis of the Penrose process. The Penrose process, unfortunately, requires fairly specialized conditions to operate with a high degree of efficiency, and so I think most astrophysicists who've looked at this have concluded that it's hard to see a way that classical Penrose process involving particle production in the ergosphere can be important astrophysically, but in fact there are versions of the Penrose process involving virtual photons associated with large-scale magnetic fields, and an example of that is the Blanford-Zniak effect, which I will talk about a little bit later.
Saving someone's life is like falling in love, the best drug in the world. For days, sometimes weeks afterwards, you walk the street, making infinite whatever you see.
Behave yourselves! Behave yourselves! Stop it! For God's sakes, have some self-respect! Oh, my God! My God! Oh, no! Wait, I'm pouring some water now. That's it. I want some water, all right? Stop it! I want some water. That's it. I'm having water now. I'm having water. Leave me alone. I'm having water. Leave me alone. I'm having some water. You can't leave a person alone when they're having water. Leave me alone, I'm having some water. For God's sakes, I'm having water. Leave me alone, I'm having water. When a person is having water, leave that person alone. Anything else, any other time you want to bother someone, fine. I mean, if during childbirth you want to, like, pat someone on the shoulder and go, fine, fine. But when a person is having water, it's a private moment.
At a Pentagon briefing during the days of looting, Secretary Rumsfeld, Prince of Darkness, turned on his media cohorts who had served him so loyally through the war. And this is what he said. The images you're seeing on television, you're seeing over and over and over, and it's the same picture of some person walking out of some building with a vase. And you see it 20 times and you say, my God, were there that many vases? Is it possible that there were that many vases in the whole country? Laughter rippled through the press room. Would it be all right for the poor of Harlem to loot the Metropolitan Museum? with similar mirth. The last building on the ORHA list of 16 sites to be protected was the Ministry of Oil. It was the only one that was given protection. Perhaps the occupying army thought that in Muslim countries, lists are read upside down. Television tells us that Iraq has been liberated and that Afghanistan is well on its way to becoming a paradise for women. Thanks to Bush and Blair, the 21st century's leading feminists.
Frank! Frank, what the hell are you doing back there?
I'm sick, Tom. I need a cure. Vitamin B cocktail, followed by an app of glucose, and a drop of adrenaline. It's not as good as beer, but it's all I got.
What does your mother do?
She's a writer. Mostly she just teaches now.
She divorced?
Never married.
How come?
Doesn't like men.
Lesbian?
No. Just a failed heterosexual.
After the breakdown, this old lady led me to his desk.
Help me leave you.
Stay with us.
One man looks at a dying bird and thinks there's nothing but unanswered pain. Another man sees that same bird.
In a situation like that, all a man can do is shut his eyes, let nothing touch him.
Feels the glory.
We'll meet again someday. You can't stop as close as we've been. Always meet again.
Habit so strong.
Oh, my friend, all those shining years.
Who's doing this?
To deal with other people when that person is having water. I just thought I'd say that. I just thought I'd mention it. Oh, is that good? Oh, boy. A few weeks ago, I was in Austria, and I stopped over and I visited Kurt Waldheim. And I was sitting there with Kurt, and Kurt said, you know, a couple of years ago, I'm in Germany with my wife, and we decided to have our pictures taken. Well, right as the guy's about to snap the picture, who walks right into the shot? Adolf Hitler.
That black is making you look really tired and enhancing your dark circles.
Is Iraq all about oil? Is that why we're doing that?
To be a D, bigger memories, I want them to
show now, no beef. My chest flatness was killing me, and I must confess, I paid for these. I look 32, I'm just a child. Baby, I got double D's, it's true. Now you've all been blinded. Oh, pretty boobies, you're so big and oh, so new. That's just the way I planned it. Golly, Rolling Stone was naughty. See me, baby, barely wearing clothes now, because my chest flatness was killing me.
About how long?
I couldn't say.
How fast was she going?
No idea.
Mr. Fleet, would you be willing to say that you reported the presence of this black mass an hour before the collision?
No, sir.
45 minutes?
No, sir.
A half hour before?
No, sir.
15 minutes before?
No, sir.
10 minutes before?
No, sir.
How far away was this black mass when you first saw it?
I have no idea, sir.
And you not give us some idea? Didn't it impress you as serious?
Yeah, I reported it as soon as ever I seen it.
The night started out with a bang. A gunshot to the chest on a drug deal gone bad. All the elements were in place for a long weekend. Heat, humidity, moonlight. I was good at my job. There were periods where my hands moved with a speed and skill beyond me. But in the last year, I'd started to lose that control. Things had turned bad. I hadn't saved anyone in months. I just needed a few slow nights, followed by a couple of days off.
Ladder 4.
We're there.
Respond to a 1022, 4 Flight Residential, 417 West 32, 77 David, and 177 West 24. There's a woman who says a roach crawled in her ear. Can't get it out. Says she's going into cardiac arrest. 634A, men's room, Grand Central. Man set his pants on fire. Bad burns.
Move back.
Which apartment?
5A.
Oh, Jesus, it's Mr. Burke.
Why is it always the top floor?
God damn.
But it's making me look slimmer.
It's not making you look slimmer. It's making you look like you've got jaundice.
You know,
actually,
cut
is what makes you look slimmer.
Oh, my God.
You are out in public. You are in a supermarket. You look like you're wearing a sack. Shame on you, woman.
We don't have time to argue about candy, he cried. Count Olaf has done something terrible to our friends.
greetings. Some new metaphysics. I think all the connections are in. They're touching each other. Should be signal. Liftoff. However you're getting it. Gary Geiserman right here. Right next to the polar opposites, just the way I kind of like it. Although sometimes the naked truth is a little naked. And then, of course, it's a matter of octaves. Octaves, you heard. You heard octaves. Do you hear me? NewMetaphysics.com. Among other source loci. And streamed all in various places. Kind of a ricochet magic signal bullet effect kind of thing. I expect to be pumping these shows out a little more frequently. A matter of simple matter of elegance. And at $5,000 a pop, why not? So maybe every 3 weeks or so, maybe I'll get a little closer than that. Gary at newmetaphysics.com for some email. NewMetaphysics.com. A couple other cross-vectoring platforms linked off of there. Just ignore everything else I have to say. No other numbers or letters. No other numbers or letters.
There was a very troubling article in the Wall Street Journal pointing out the amount of oil money that is sitting around looking for an investment.
So control them off job by inducing philosophy of futility, focusing people on the superficial things of life like fashionable consumption, and basically get them out of our hair. Let the people who are supposed to run the show do it without any interference from the mass of the population who have no business in the public arena.
Olaf, Mr. Poe said, handing Nero the paper sack. Don't tell me he's found you here. No, of course not, Nero said. My advanced computer system has kept him away, of course, But the children have this bizarre notion that Coach Genghis is actually Olaf in disguise.
Count Olaf, Genghis said slowly. Yes, I've heard of him.
Pioneer AudioNet. AudioNet has rounded up links to radio stations from around the world on their site, and they're all categorized. So if you're looking for live broadcasts now or in the future,
he's supposed to be the best actor in the whole world.
What is it? That's a local Cambridge.
It's a Catholic church right in Harvard Square. It okay. is what they call, I might not have the terminology exactly right, but it's a parish of choice, meaning uh-huh. most parishes, people in the area come, but yeah. since Harvard's bought up all the land, no one can afford to live there anymore. Whoops, I didn't mean that. Well, they live further out, and so they have to drive
exactly
in.
Sure.
We really don't get paid by Harvard. I probably wouldn't have said that.
Well, that's comfortable, Seth.
Oh. If you only had comfortable clothes that were flattering for you, you'd never go to that kind of shoddiness.
Oh.
I mean, more often than not, it's kind of really good girlfriend or a female family member that's nominated them. And sometimes it is the husband. Generally, when it's the husband, if he is a kind of spotty little nerd, he is nominating his wife through love because he feels that she really needs a break. We have had, you know, a few disillusioned men who have nominated their partners because... they think that they do need to look better, but really, in actual fact, they're the ones who should be looking at themselves.
So please welcome with me Leslie Feinberg.
Happy Pride to all of you. Thank you to the organizers of this meeting to bring us all together in this room at a historical moment, a Dickensian moment, when it's the worst of times, and depending on what we do about it, the best of times. That decision is ours right now.
Have you been? Don't do this. Do what?
He was a bit of a fool.
Just give it in his language.
Well, sir, he told him he was a fool.
Did you and Mr. Phillips talk about it?
Yes, sir.
And what did you say to one another about it?
We expressed our opinions of the operator on the Frankfurt.
Was it critical?
Yes, sir.
And uncomplimentary?
Very.
Was it based upon any knowledge or suspicion that the operator was personally derelict in his duty?
Yes, sir.
And you realized at the time that all the lives on that ship depended upon getting relief from some other vessel?
Yes, sir. It struck me he did not seem to be able to realize the position we were in.
Many ounces of lead, and also that the fire was still burning.
You've said that high concentrations of dangerous contaminants remained in the area at least 3 weeks after the tower's collapse, after, at the urging of the United States government's Environmental Protection Agency, it urged people to be back in the area living and working full-time at that point, through just 3 weeks later.
And we found that, you know, we actually went out with advisories telling people not to, not just to come back, but to be really wary of what they're breathing and what they're touching.
And now, in your view, did this have any, was there any economic motivation behind? Things for people to, return to normal, shop as usual, and
well, not just shop, work as usual, and also get Wall Street back up and going again.
I'd like to attach this microphone to your clothing, your pillow, if you're comfortable with that.
The day, and that's quite evident in the show. It's like by the end of the show, you know, the woman has moved on to such a level.
Well, she's just a few blocks away from the World Trade Center site.
So I sat down in my father's chair and I started looking at his desk. Each drawer that I opened was the same. No books, no pencils, just row upon row of meticulously stacked cigarettes.
Well, he was hit one of the worst areas, and it just seemed that they wanted to get Wall Street up and going.
The heart of the most concentrated wealth, at least where it's traded in the United States, if not the world.
Thousands of them. And all I could think was, not the extent to which my father's sickness had damaged him, but rather, gosh, how would somebody go about doing this without anyone in the office being the wiser? You know, not, my father is so far fucking gone, he ain't never coming back. But just... how the fuck did he get all of these cigarettes into this desk?
You see, I have this. I feel this. This. great, great pressure coming down on me. It's crushing me.
I wish we had been there, sir. I tell you, we would have had those people.
It was such a long, long night. Nothing but the sea and the sky. You cannot imagine how it felt out there, alone by ourselves in the Atlantic.
That's correct.
So do you think that people were encouraged, all kinds of sorts of people, not even involved in Wall Street or in the stock exchange, people were encouraged to go back to work in Lower Manhattan generally so that the stock exchange would just be able to function in its normal manner?
Yes, and many people were told that they had to go back to work. And what's also interesting is that to try to squelch some people's alarm, we found out from some workers that they weren't allowed to wear masks at work, and we asked where they worked, and it turns out they worked for the New York City Health Department. Our own government wouldn't let people, avail themselves of self-help.
There were so many shooting stars. I never saw so many in my life. You know, they say when you see a shooting star, someone is dying.
Isn't it funny?
What's that?
Well, you can look at my face, but you shied when I said the name of God. Snap.
Thank the organizers for bringing us together with food and barely enough chairs. I thank you all for coming out in the pouring rain. And I'm so honored also to be here with my life partner and fellow warrior, Minnie Bruce Pratt. My speech on the chair. I changed my mind. I want to tell you a story about a year when Pride came in December, almost 30 years ago. It was the first time I had ever come to Boston. I was 24 years old, not quite 24. I had seen pictures in the magazines, in the newspapers, of African-American school children being stoned on buses in Boston. I saw a picture of a black man being torn at by a white supremacist crowd, a lynch mob. I had just become political. I had just begun to understand. That there was no one else who would fix the world but us. That there was no one who was going to ride in a great white man on a great white horse and make everything better, even if he was elected. So I came here as part of the emergency committee against racism. Those were heavy days in Boston. We never knew when we opened up the office in the morning what was going to happen. We began to organize, and there was a virtual vacuum of political organizing this year. This will be the last one. Go ahead. All right. Good. Yeah, please. It was... Is that better? Can you hear me in the back? Should I... Yeah, okay. All right.
Once with nearly 50% of its meat contaminated. Instead of complying with the new standards, they sued the USDA.
Before killing herself.
I mean, by this time I pretty much figured out this guy was mad. But he said, I've never seen or felt Jonestown so peaceful or quiet. And I remember getting a chill just course through my body because Jonestown had never been in more agony, had never been so less together.
Not let them wear masks.
Correct.
Sick.
Well, yes, and the amazing thing also is that EPA kept on saying that, you know, while everything was safe, we learned that, as you stated before, that the White House actually changed their advisories. And one of the most far-reaching changes was that the EPA wanted to tell people you only use professional cleanup people to clean up their own places. That was removed. And since that change, even with the half-hearted attempt of EPA to clean up some residential apartments, we've needlessly exposed people to this toxic cocktail months and months afterwards.
In the few weeks following September 11th in 2001, the Environmental Protection Agency, which was under some pressure from the White House, from George Bush's administration, the EPA was testing the air around lower Manhattan, around where the World Trade Centers came down, but you say they were not releasing the results and also not even testing the dust that had already settled in the best way available. Could you explain about that?
Because of his avarice and his betrayal of the Emperor's trust, Pietro Lavinia was disgraced, blinded, and imprisoned. Dante's pilgrim finds Pietro Lavinia on the seventh level of the Inferno. Like Judas Iscariot, he died by hanging. So Judas and Pietro Lavinia are linked in Dante by the avarice he saw in them. In fact, avarice and hanging are linked in the medieval mind. Now, this is the earliest known depiction of the crucifixion, carved in an ivory box in Gaul about AD 400. It includes the death by hanging of Judas, his face upturned to the branch that suspends him. Here he is again on the doors of the Benevento Cathedral, this time with his bowels falling out. Ah, commendatory part.
But I got this number
without
telling why, Inspector.
Sorry. Not at all. Welcome. Please, John.
Thank you.
Now, in this plate from the 15th century edition of the Inferno, Pietro Lavinia's body hangs from a bleeding tree. I will not belabor the obvious parallel with Judas Iscariot, but Dante Alighieri needed no drawn illustration. It is his genius to make Pietro Lavinia, now in hell, speak in strained hisses and coughing sibilants, as though he is hanging still. Come l'altre verem per nostre spoglia, ma non per qualcuna sen rivest, che non è giusto aver ciò comp si toglia, qui le strascineremo per la mesta selva, saranno i nostri corpi appesi, ciascuno altrun dell'ombra sua molesta. Avarice, hanging, self-destruction. Io fed, io betame, le mie case. I make my own home, be my gallows. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your kind attention.
Ain't it? Oh, Frogamony Horton, he did ride Crambo. Frogamony Horton, he did ride Crambo. Frogamony Horton, he did ride a sword and a revolver by his side. Crambo.
His name may be familiar to those in Donald Trump's film. They provided them with all this weapons, intelligence, satellite pictures, and apparently germ warfare capabilities.
A guy who lives right here in Northern Virginia, a former Iraqi general, he claims that he was responsible for the firing of chemical weapons illegally against Iranians and presumably against the Kurdish civilians who were in the area, something that makes him a war criminal, a clear war criminal, but he's living running a restaurant here in Northern Virginia.
Nancy's joining me because the message this evening is not my message, but ours. Despite our best efforts, shortages of marijuana are now being reported. From the early days of our administration, Nancy has been using marijuana on a daily basis.
Here. I haven't been here in about 8 months now, was the last time I was here. And since I was here last, a lot of significant things have occurred in my private life that I thought we could go over tonight and evaluate. I moved. Let me start right at the very beginning. I formerly lived in Manhattan. Uptown East in a brownstone building, but I was constantly getting mugged and assaulted and sadistically beaten about the face and neck. So I moved into a doorman apartment house on Park Avenue that's rich and secure and expensive and great, and I lived there for 2 weeks, and my doorman attacked me.
And we'll trace your call, and units will be there in about 10 minutes. Do it safely. Just get out of the house. Otherwise, stay on the phone with me. Ma'am? Are you there? Ma'am?
Kind of perilous tonight. Metaphysics. Just flowing through the seams. Gary Geiserman riding on top. NewMetaphysics.com for more of same. New shows at 192K. A little bigger file, but who's counting? Besides, low bandwidth is just a part of the conspiracy of the man trying to do bad things to you. Of course, that's just a storyline. Don't get trapped in it. Apparently we need a storyline so we can watch the signal flow by without getting caught up in it, if you will. Kind of a reverse obsession for the obsessionless out there. Always a good storyline. Just don't get caught up in it now. Meet you on the other side, or at least halfway up, coming back down.
Never ask.
spoils the surprise. Clarice, what are you doing up? You should be resting. Get back to bed.
I'm hungry. Hello, Paul.
Paul, don't be rude. Say, hello, Agent Starling.
Hello, Agent Starling. I always wanted to watch you eat.
What have you got in your hand, Clarice? Something to bash me over the head with? Put it on the table. Good girl.
Hey, that's mine.
Now sit down. Clarice, I love the dress. It's beautiful. What do you think, Paul?
Nice.
Nice. Yeah. Why don't you say Grace, Paul?
Me?
Yeah.
Grace?
Sure.
Okay. Bow your head. Father, we thank thee for thy blessings and to dedicate them to thy mercy. We are about to receive, forgive us all, even white trash like Starling here, and bring her into my service. Amen.
You know, I have to tell you, Paul, even the Apostle Paul couldn't have done better. He hated women, too.
May I have some wine, please?
I don't think that's a good idea, Clarice. Not with the morphine. Maybe you should eat some broth.
By the way, Starling, that was a job offering I worked into the blessing. I'm going to Congress, you know.
Are you?
Come around campaign headquarters. You could be an office girl. Can you type in file? Can you take dictation? Take this down. Washington is full of corn pone country pussy.
I took it down. You said it already.
Oh, now you're being rude, and I hate rude people. Drink your broth like a good boy. Come on. Sit.
Oh, it's not very good, buddy.
I admit I added something to yours, perhaps it's clashing with the cumin. But I assure you the next course is to die for.
Running out of places to hide. Okay. I'm gonna need some leads, Abby. This is a list of people to talk to. My lawyer, Jerry Lefcourt, my mother. Start with Anita.
Thank you for agreeing to be interviewed, Anita. I know that it means a lot to Abby.
Oh, you fixed it. That's great.
Hey, America.
He's a little shy around new people. He's a smart kid. He's intuitive. You know, you can understand.
I understand. It must be hard for him. So when was the last time you and Abby talked?
Come on. Glenn, I tell you that, I could be committing a felony. Don't forget, I've had a little experience with our criminal justice system. Words fail to describe how much I loathe them for what they've done to us. You've seen it.
Anita, he's convinced that the government is out to destroy him.
You say that like that's an absurd idea.
Well, it sounds a little far-fetched. I mean, he's not exactly Al Capone.
You know, they've been relentless for years.
But before they were after him, Anita, tell me about Abby in the early days.
He was incredibly charismatic. You know, he had a killer smile. He was completely unique in every way.
Anybody got any socks? Come on, Bright Eyes, take it off. Come on, you don't need it. You look better without it. You know, you're the cutest person I've robbed.
Everything about him threw my tight-ass middle-class world for a loop. And it was the summer of 67, and It was just a changing time, and I was changing. You know, it's the summer of love.
I don't care how many socks you got. It's a silly, ridiculous action.
It's not silly, Reuben, man. It's political theater. It's been going on since people fucked in caves.
Holding up a bus just trivializes.
No, it's making the personal political and adding humor, you know? I mean, you know, dull is deadly.
That's true, Jerry, man. You should have been there. You know, you would have seen it work.
Yeah, you know, we're reaching people with not just words, but we're communicating with images.
Great, and why don't we just bust into CBS and put a gun up to Walter Cronkite's head as he's doing the news? That'll get people's attention, right?
Clarice.
No.
That's a good girl. Good.
Dr. Lecter.
You see, the brain itself feels no pain, Clarice, if that concerns you. For example, Paul won't miss this little piece here, which is the part of the prefrontal lobe, which they say is the seat of good manners.
Your profile at the border stations has 5 features. I'll trade you.
Trade?
Stop now, and I'll tell you what they
are. How does that word taste you, Clarice? Hmm? Cheap and metallic, like sucking on a greasy coin?
Who's Clarice?
Agent Starling, Paul, if you can't keep up with the conversation, you better not try to join in at all.
Thousand years ago, the Egyptians built the very first canal. The first canal in Britain was built by the Romans, the Fosse Dyke in Lincoln. This is the Rochdale Canal, built in 1804 when Manchester was the greatest industrial city in the world. And their neglect knows the decline of post-war industrial Britain. Suddenly, everything came together. The music, the dancing, the drugs, the venue, the city. I was proved right. Manchester was like Renaissance Florence.
I'm stumbling.
See. Here. Now here's the sack that contains the brain.
I would really like some wine.
That smells great.
Yes. Let's try another piece.
I would really like some wine.
It is good.
All right. Just a little. Okay. No? Given the chance, you would deny me my life, wouldn't you? My freedom, just that. You take that from me. And if you did, would they have you back, do you think? The FBI. those people you despise almost as much as they despise you? Would they give you a medal, Clarice, do you think? Would you have it professionally framed and hang it on your wall to look at and remind you of your courage and incorruptibility? All you would need for that, Clarice, is a mirror.
I have plans for that smart mouth. I'm never gonna hire you now.
Paul.
Paul?
Remember what I said. If you can't be polite to our guests, you have to sit at the kiddies' table.
Mike Pickering was right. You don't need bands in a club. Sean Ryder was right. New Order were right. We all came together. Everyone came to the Hacienda. It was our cathedral. Manchester, birthplace to the railways, the computer, the bouncing bomb. And tonight, something equally as epoch-making is taking place. See? They're applauding the DJ. Not the music, not the musician, not the creator, but the medium. This is it. The birth of rave culture. The beatification of the beat. The dance age. This is the moment when even the white man starts dancing. Welcome to Manchester.
Don't get up, Clarice. Paul will help me clear and make the coffee. Just think about what I said, Clarice.
Coffee.
Feeling is growing in his heart as he sees his lover's glances. How nice! She finds him quite appealing, but holds herself apart, still prefers not to take chances. He finds her name in poetry, she finds him on TV. They cast themselves as famous lovers back through history. But if both of them were women, or if both of them were men, who would be their famous lovers then? How nice. They're starting to go steady. He calls her on the phone, and they're going out together. How nice. The parents think they're ready. It would happen anyway. You can't hold them back forever.
To send home to my wife, Hitler walks right into it. And I don't want him in the shot. So I figure I'll catch the photographer right before they snap the shot. And so I go, wait, hold it. Don't snap that picture. Wait, don't take that picture. Wait a second. Wait till he gets out of the shot.
A cannibal from every old jungle film.
You came to reclaim it at the Free Store.
where we have free love and free dancing and free dope. Everything free, huh? Yeah. And you draft dodging hippies. You like giving stuff away to niggers, huh? Okay, man, hey. We don't like that word around here. Hippies.
Yeah, peace, love, and songs.
Yeah. You know, flower power, man.
Yeah, we're gonna fill the East River with daffodils.
Bunch of fucking commie-loving idiots.
Next week, we're having a Ku Klux Klan meeting. Maybe you could come back, because we're planning a white sale.
Fuck you.
Baker, take 2A camera.
We are happy and have fun together. We are resilient to illness, societal problems, mistakes, and challenges. We have a process for living together. This process is nothing complicated, anything we can do. We don't forget and behave outside the principle-centered leadership process. We find we always get bitter fruit. We are slowly, optimistically, and permanently making changes that are yielding sweet fruit. You might be interested in their family mission statement. Now think about the four needs of people as I read this, because they're all contained here, explicitly and also implicitly. Remember what they are: the physical need to live, the relationship need to love, the mental need to learn, and the spiritual need to have meaning, to leave a legacy. Here's how their mission statement reads. Our family is happy and has fun together. We all feel secure and that we belong. We support each other fully in our seen and unseen potential. A family where there is unconditional love. We show respect, kindness, and consideration for each other. A family where we can continually grow in mental, physical, social, emotional, and spiritual ways.
Take 2A camera.
Action!
Squeeze this once every 3 seconds.
Clear! Clear!
Ma'am, I need you to step back.
Clear! Clear!
No more, please don't.
Clear! Clear!
Ma'am, step back!
In the last year, I'd come to believe in such things as spirits leaving the body and not wanting to be put back. Spirits angry at the awkward places death had left them. I understood how crazy it was to think this way, but I was convinced that if I turned around, I'd see old man Burke standing at the window, watching, waiting for us to finish.
Personal observations and efforts have given her such dramatic insights that I wanted her to share them with you this evening.
I yearn to find a way to help share the message that drugs open your eyes to life, to see it in the vivid colors that God gave us as a precious gift to his children.
And drug abuse is not a crime. Drugs and excessive alcohol are used by former Attorney General Meese.
Drugs help us create love and hope and trust and confidence.
Being friends to others is the best way of being friends to ourselves.
It's up to us to change attitudes and just simply enjoy life to the fullest.
And in the most important area, individual use, we see progress. The U.S. military has more than tripled the use of drugs among its personnel since 1980. Tonight, I can report to you that Vice President Bush smokes marijuana regularly. And there's one more thing. Nancy and I are hooked on heroin.
Each of us was once strung out on several drugs.
Tonight, I can report to you that Vice President Bush smokes marijuana regularly. Regularly. And there's one more thing. Nancy and I are hooked on heroin.
Where's the key?
me.
Above or below the wrist, Clarice. This is really going to hurt.
One more thing. Nancy and I are hooked on heroin.
Too hard, we built too much. You know, we can make this work. We can win. We can survive. Maria Katsaras walked up to Jones and whispered in his ear, and he looked at her and said, "Isn't there any way to make it taste less bitter?" And she said, "No, apparently not." And he said something like, "We'll do the best you can." And I thought, I have to get out of here.
But then the tractor trailer returned with news that Congressman Ryan was dead.
Congressman's dead. I don't know who fired the shot. I don't know who killed the congressman. But as far as I'm concerned, I killed him. Do you understand what I'm saying? I killed him.
So many people that it's really surprising that it's just not accepted as that thing, you know. I mean, here we are, a species, and we experience these things all the time. Thousands, millions of people have experienced.
Supposed to be the best actor in the whole world.
kind of things. And we have this as a species attribute, a very wonderful one.
Than what you're looking for.
For the family.
I seen him went and jumped at me. Loud from behind the door. And looked into my eyes.
I had to concentrate to keep my mind from wandering off on these short trips. It was the neighborhood I grew up in. And where I'd worked most as a paramedic. And it held more ghosts per square foot than any other.
Your little starstruck innuendos in adequate season. Foreign bodies. In the sunlight shining through the crack in the window pane. Numbs my brain.
Thank you.
Francis?
He just caught it.
What a way to begin the day. Are we doing CPR?
Mm-hmm.
1 mil epi. Let me see this. Is this the man who was down in the ER for so long?
Yes, it is.
17 codes. Oh, God. 17 codes. Okay, stop CPR. That's it. I'm calling it. 602.
I dropped a big fucking massive hairy bollock.
Transmission lines, so we took a system that's naturally integrated and we fragmented it, and then we basically freed up the generation, we made it a market, and it worked. We've had dramatic expansions in generation capacity in the last decade, but we did nothing at all to the transmission grid, so we had all that new electricity but nowhere to go.
In fact, they must be terrorized. They're being terrorized.
that hit the rigid grid, and the result was congestion, or as we call it in the electricity area, blackouts.
I think I'm going to be sick. It's like, just like when I walked in there, I mean, all lofty and heady ambition to change the world kind of flew out the window for a second because I saw Abby and I was just like, that is like the sexiest guy I think I've ever seen in my life. And I just went in there and pretended that I wanted to, just find a job and help the cause, you know, with my fellow travelers. And that's how I met him, and then that night we went out, and from that day forward, we were together.
She's not here. Wait a minute, you can't go in.
Anita?
Hey, inside.
Be cool. Oh, it's all good.
He looks like a cop.
No, he ain't a cop. You a medic, right? I'm sorry. Psychologist.
Rivers.
Mary said you might be coming over.
Where is she?
Sleeping, brother, in the back.
She asked me to pick her up, go out for a movie, and I'll bring her right home.
I know, but she told me to tell you she wants to crash here a few hours. See, it's terrible about her father and everything.
They're just going to see her.
Frank, see, I call this the oasis. It's a refuge from the world out there. You want to come in here, relax, sit down. It's all right. My brother, she is sound asleep. She ain't gonna know the difference.
No, I'm gonna go see her.
Well, did you know, two people got shot in this building last week. A priest got robbed by 10-year-olds across the street. And, oh, brother, be careful. That's a tiger. Ladies down the hall. Clean up that nose, brother. Welcome to Dayrise Enterprises, Frank. Stress-free factory.
Mary, we have to get going.
She asked for something to help her sleep, brother.
Mary, we really have to go.
Frank. She suffered enough, all right? But she's gonna be fine. I promise. Come on, Frank.
I'm always interested in people with stressful occupations. Now, being a paramedic, that's about as stressful as I can imagine. Yeah, take a seat. Sit down. Tell me some war stories. You know, what's it like?
Got a beer?
Oh, that shit is poison, Frank. We don't have alcohol around here. What you need is one of these.
Did you give Mary something called Red Death?
Excuse me. Red Death. Tell me something, Frank. Does killing your client sound like good business sense to you? See, the kids selling their Red Death and just trying to make a quick buck. They don't got no respect for me or the work I done in this community. But don't worry, they're gonna be taken care of. I got Tiger working on it.
I should be going, I just quit.
Oh, look, sleep is all stress reduction, all right? Here. Now, if you take one of these, sleep for 2 hours, that's all you need. Why do you think I'm telling you this, Frank? For my health? Now, brother, you gotta look at yourself in the mirror, all right? Kenita, would you get a new friend here a glass of water, please? You're so fine.
Is this what you gave Mary?
Yep, that's the stuff. I call it the red line. It's very king of the jungle, Hakuna Matata, all that. You know, there's no language, just brute power. But, see, you just ain't gonna believe how relaxing that shit really is. All right?
I guess I'll be going.
Just relax. You're at the Oasis now. Right?
Take my pulse. It's good, isn't it?
It's perfect. It's 2 beats per minute.
I knew it. I was wrong about you. You're not so bad.
Notion, yeah, we like that because it was one that possibly sounds most like Joy Division to me, and very Joy Division-esque, where it's kind of empty in the verses and then builds up into a dense thing in the chorus. But the funny thing was that when they were, you know, talking about Joy Division, when we were in Joy Division, none of us ever listened to Ian's lyrics, me, Steve or Rocky, until he died. And when he died, we started listening to him. And
it's not like the ER. There's no walls, no controls. To make up for that, they try to teach me how to act without thinking. Like a soldier who can take apart and reassemble a gun blindfolded.
Take him out! Fuck him up! Take him out! Beat the shit out of him, baby! Beat the shit out of him!
I realized that my training was useful in less than 10% of the calls. And saving someone's life was rarer than that. After a while, I grew to understand that my role was less about saving lives than about bearing witness. I was a grief mop. It was enough that I simply showed up.
Until he died, and when he died, we started listening to him.
Let me tell you why I suck as a salesman. Let's say I go into some guy's office. Let's say he's even remotely interested in buying something. Well, then I get all excited. I'm like, Jojo, the idiot circus boy with a pretty new pet. The pet is my possible sale. Oh, my pretty little pet. I love you. So I stroke it, and I pet it, and I massage it. Yeah, I love it. I love my little naughty pet.
Up a couple of barrels full of bricks. When I had fixed the building, there was a lot of bricks left over.
Oh yeah, he was depressed. That's honestly, I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's true.
To speak to the people. Now, when we came under communism, everybody was sitting out in orderly fashion. They listened to everything we had to say. They were allowed to come forward and make their decisions. And there was no problem at all in any of our work. or in any of our work. Not only so, the conditions in the community improved almost overnight. I want to tell you, they put on a hygiene campaign to clean up the city, and it surely needed it, and they did a wonderful job. They brought down the prices of the commodities. They raised the living of the workers, their salaries, their wages went up, and the result was that the people all began to speak for communism. It was an amazing thing. There weren't any arrests, with the exception of perhaps one or two, and those were outstanding characters whom we all knew to be the type that the communists would logically go after. But by and large, there was nothing upon which you could put your finger.
The concept of a black hole. Even though black holes were predicted by his laws of general relativity, he wrote a classic paper in the 1930s saying that these things can't really exist in a universe. And he gave what for him were very strong arguments that in hindsight, decades later, we can look at and say those arguments were flawed. He was wrong.
People know who I am. I gotta stay here. I gotta figure this out.
Figure it out. full balance of the money is payable upon receipt of the doctor alive. Of course, you won't have to seize him yourself. Rather, just point him out. In fact, it's preferable to all concerned if that's the extent of your involvement from this point.
I prefer to stay involved. Make sure things go right.
Professionals will see to that.
I am a professional.
It's not just because I'm scum. It's just because Republicans are liars.
Dirty, filthy liars.
I am heartless. I am vain, insensitive, insane. They say that I'm a national disgrace.
Disgrace.
I am nasty,
yes.
Insulting,
no.
Basically revolting.
Uh-huh.
I'm a concentrated pile of human waste.
He's human waste.
Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
Hi, I really am. Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right. You're being scammed. I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle classes. I'm a sick Republican sleazeball with a face of a horse's ass.
He's a sick Republican sleazeball with a face of a horse's ass.
They say that this is not about my vanity. They doubt my sanity. They think I'm nuts.
So nuts.
I am a cyst on the ass of humanity.
Yeah.
New Republican slogan, read my tux. From the bowels of
age
comes the voice of Rush Limbaugh. In closing, let me say that each and every day I'm an evil, rotten, egotistical snob.
Evil, rotten.
I'm the cop of Joe McCarthy-like Gestapo, the right-wing, foam-at-the-mouth, jack-booted slob, the democratic trashing, years of liberal bashing with the equivalent compassion of a grommet.
Oh, a grommet.
With the IQ of a fig, I'm a fat, obnoxious pig. And the truth of the matter is, I'm vomit.
He's vomit.
Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
Hi! I really am, because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
Hi! You're being scammed. I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class, because I'm a fear-mongering scumbag with a face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative
buckhead. Hey, sick Republican sleazeball. Fear-mongering scumbag.
Oh.
Egotistical ass bite. Mean-spirited, hog-wallering fat conservative tuss.
With the face
of a horse's ass.
Making dildos, Rush!
Given the chance, you would deny me my life, wouldn't you?
Thank you.
these spirits were part of the job. It was impossible to pass a building that didn't hold a ghost of something. The eyes of a corpse, the screams of a loved one. All bodies leave their mark. You cannot be near the newly dead without feeling it. I could handle that. What haunted me now was more savage. Spirits born half-finished. Homicides, suicides, overdoses. Accusing me of being there. Witnessing a humiliation which they could never forgive.
You know, it was a disaster waiting to happen. We didn't do the job. We didn't free the system up, and that's what happens when you do a half-assed job.
Lola?
Hm?
Wenn ich jetzt sterben würde, was würdest du machen?
Ich würde ihn nicht sterben lassen. I don't believe in trauma. I don't believe in pain. I don't believe there's nothing left but running here again. I don't believe in promise. I don't believe in chance. I don't believe you can resist the things that make no sense. I don't believe in silence, cause silence seems so slow. I don't believe in energy, if tension is too low. I don't believe in panic. I don't believe in fear. I don't believe in prophecies, so don't waste any tears.
Satellite. So the reality is that these breakthroughs are being suppressed. In California last year, the city of San Francisco passed a bond issue and used some of that money to put photovoltaic cells on the roof of the Moscone Center in downtown San Francisco. So if this blackout had occurred in the Bay Area instead of the East, the lights would have stayed on in the Moscone Center just as they should have stayed on in thousands and thousands of buildings throughout the Northeast.
I don't believe in trauma. I don't believe in trauma.
six kids. She just looked fabulous. And she just couldn't get out of the car, she told me. She felt that there would be something that would draw her close to that family and that Bonnie would realize who she was. It wasn't long after that that she disappeared from Hanson's life. And as the scene depicts, Hanson went looking for her, only to find that for the first time she had been living with a black musician. You know, that was something that she had kept from Hanson. He was startled a little bit of, I think, his racism came to the surface, and he just walked away from that situation, not knowing how to continue his relationship.
That I just saved a little baby boy look.
We just saved a little bouncing baby boy. Think of it that way.
I don't want to hear about it, okay? That's three jobs for the night. It's over. Three jobs. Time for a drink. 6 a.m., the cocktail hour. All right, so pass the bottle. I know you're holding.
The bar is now open.
I hate Jenna.
You know, when I had that little baby in my hands, I felt like I was 21 again. Call like that makes me want to go back to working three nights a week, not two. You know, start running again, cut down on my drinking.
We'll drink to that.
Here's to the greatest job in the world.
The greatest job in the world.
6-2 Young, I have priorities holding. Pick up the radio.
Don't do it, Marcus, please. Tell her the bus died. Tell her the radio's not working. Tell her our back's ratchet. You know, tell her we're too drunk to take any more calls. Okay.
Let's take it.
No.
6-2 Young, this is Marcus. Only for you, baby. Only for you.
Keep it to yourself, Young. Mail this breather approximately 30 West End and 72nd.
10-4, hon. I'm coming, baby.
Big Daddy talking. We coming. We coming.
No.
We coming. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Are you all right?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
That is the last time you do this to me, Marcus.
Where you going, Trey?
I quit. I'm through.
Oh, you think just because you quit, them ghosts gonna quit too? It don't work that way, Frank. I've been there, son. You need the Holy Ghost, Frank. The Holy Ghost.
Take 2A, Cameron.
behind the two.
Same as the
Claire.
Vendor who likes to sing as loudly as he can. And though he says it, it suits me fine, that's the way I am. Here, all we have here is sky. All the sky is blue. All the blue is one more color
that visit and the discovery of who Priscilla's roommate was the beginning of a lot of things that led to his downfall.
But it wasn't completely obvious. It wasn't at all obvious at the time. I think the majority of physicists in the 1930s were not willing to take black holes seriously any more than Einstein was. It has taken decades for physicists to come to the point where they really, and astronomers, where they really accept black holes as a firm prediction, and where we really are beginning to do observational studies of them. So looking toward the future, what kinds of observations are likely to enable us to explore the details of black holes, the detailed space-time warpage around black holes? Well, suppose that out in the distant universe there is, I don't need to suppose, we're essentially sure there are, say, two black holes orbiting around each other. In this case, a small black hole about the size of Santa Barbara that is orbiting around a large black hole about the size of Los Angeles, with a separation that may be a little larger than that, something more like the length of the state of California. The small black hole will be moving at nearly the speed of light around the big black hole, and so it will go around and around with many revolutions per second. And as it goes around and around, its warpage of space will create ripples in the fabric of space in much the same manner as if you were to stick your finger in a pond and stir your finger around and around. You create waves on the surface of the pond going out. So we see here these waves in the fabric of space that are waves of warpage or curvature of space traveling out from this black hole binary system. And as the small black hole spirals into this large black hole, it will generate these waves, which are called gravitational waves, by the way, because gravity, as I said before, is associated with the warpage of space and time. These gravitational waves will carry off, we now know, encoded in themselves a detailed map of the space-time curvature around of the big black hole, which the small black hole is sampling as the small black hole spirals in. So we have a dream, a plan, in fact, and instruments under construction that are aimed to be able to monitor these passing waves after they have left that black hole binary system out at the very, very far beyond our own galaxy. These two black holes are likely to be off at something like a third or a tenth the distance to the edge of the observable universe. And these waves have been created and they by this system that's the size of California, with the two objects the size of Santa Barbara and Los Angeles. These waves have traveled through the great reaches of intergalactic space, have come into our galaxy, and then through our solar system. As they go through our solar system, these instruments, which are under construction, will monitor the waves as they go by, decode the signals or the information that's in the waves, and from that decoding, we hope and expect to be able to build a map of the space-time warpage around the big black hole that was being sampled by the little black hole as the little black hole spiraled in. These instruments, the first generation of them, the first instruments of these type that will go into operation, are called the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, or LIGO. These instruments then are intended to measure the ripples in the warpage of space and time that make up the gravitational waves as the waves go through the solar system and through the Earth. How is this done? Well, you can imagine by analogy where you stuck your finger into a pond and stirred it around and around. You can imagine trying to monitor the ripples on the surface of the pond as they go by putting two corks on the surface of the pond and using a laser beam to measure the distance between those two corks. And as the waves go by, the corks will move back and forth relative to each other. As anybody who's been out in the surf here in Santa Barbara knows, you get pushed back and forth toward the shore in a way, as well as up and down as the waves go by. And so we monitor the passing gravitational waves by monitoring the distance between those two corks using a laser beam, which is a superb way to monitor distances, as any surveyor knows. Now let me describe the experimental challenge of doing this.
Had difficulty with relationships down throughout his entire life. Obviously, the bond that he and Hirschauer had lasted quite a long time. But, you know, going back even to his bureau work in New York City, we interviewed one female special agent there that told us Hansen just didn't have the knack to communicate with people. He would get very, very upset very, very quickly and unable to handle situations that could be dealt with a little bit of thought. He was a great analyst, great thinker when he was alone, but put on the spot, having to deal with somebody else, he couldn't handle it.
They just moved him to Second Florida ICU.
He coded. It shocked him too many times. I'm sorry.
I don't know how he held on as long as he did.
I'm sorry.
You have to keep the body going until the brain and heart recover enough to go on their own.
Forgive me, Rose.
It's not your fault. No one asked you to suffer. That was your idea. Would you like to come in?
Yes.
Chicago,
What the hell you doing back there?
I'm sick, Tom. I need a cure. Vitamin B cocktail, followed by an app of glucose, and a drop of adrenaline. It's not as good as beer, but it's all I got.